Another piece of evidence that people are starting to pay attention came on Eclectablog this week. And, you know, we do a lot of writing about education since we brought on Mitchell Robinson, who is a professor at Michigan State University in music. He's sort of taken over that role for me because he does it so much better than I do. He posted a piece this week that without using hyperbole, it's probably the second most viral piece we've ever had. The title of it is "Please Stop with the Quote Unquote Heartwarming Teacher Stories. This is No Way to Treat Professionals." As of last check, it's had about 130,000 hits in a couple of days, which for us is pretty amazing. People are responding to it in just amazing, amazing turnout. And I can't, you know, say enough how unusual this is for us to have this sort of viral, you know, post. So, we thought the best thing for us to do is to get Mitchell on the line.
To step aside and let Mitchell explain what is it that people actually want
to
hear.
So we'd like to welcome to the show, Mitchell Robinson. Professor, how are you?
Thanks. Great to be here.
So, you know, I think the best thing for you to do is just to read your post, if you don't mind doing that, so people can be edified.
Great. Happy to do it. So it seems like every day now we see another one of these stories that are supposed to be heartwarming or show how dedicated teachers and other school personnel are. There was one story about a superintendent who spent 90 hours per week this summer repainting his school to save $150,000, and another about a teacher battling cancer who ran out of sick days, and his colleagues showered him with enough of their sick days to cover the semester. But here's the real truth. That painter slash superintendent spent 90 hours a week over the summer not doing his real job, which is running the school district, and then hired students for a fraction of what professional painters would have been paid, thus denying those workers an opportunity to make the money that they need to support their families. And that teacher, who had taught at his school for 23 years, had burned through his sick days because he was undergoing chemotherapy and surgery for colon cancer. No other profession is expected to do this kind of heartwarming stuff. If you ask the CEO or the vice president of any small to medium-sized corporation to spend 90 hours per week repainting the company's offices, that person would just laugh in your face and explain to you that it's not their job to paint walls. It's their job to manage the operations of the business, and they would be right. And if you ask the executive director of a professional organization to pay their own way on a business trip, they'd look at you like you had a third eye growing out of your forehead and tell you that if the organization expects them to attend these meetings, then it's their responsibility to pay for it. And they'd be right. And yet school teachers are expected to paint their own rooms, install their own air conditioners and mini fridges and TV monitors and speakers and screens and projectors and power strips. That is, if the district even approves such luxuries. They're expected to buy books, posters, tissues, and other materials they need for their classrooms out of their own pocket. And they're expected to pay for their own plane tickets and hotel rooms, for food, substitute teachers to cover their classes when they attend professional development conferences. Again, if they can even get the time off to do so. And they're not supposed to complain about it either, because blah, 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 you get your summers off. Blah, 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 you're supposed to love kids. Blah, 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 teaching is a calling. And we're also supposed to listen to self-appointed education experts lecture us that they know what they were getting into when they chose to be teachers, even as benefits have been cut, tenures eliminated, and union protections are eroding. And we're also supposed to hear about how the schools are failing, even as they are purposefully starved of resources, or how families deserve choice, even as the demands of parents to adequately fund their kids' schools are ignored by state legislatures and national policy think tanks. And still, they do it. For the kids, or for their own growth, or because they simply think it's the right thing to do. As we see beginning teachers with 4- and 5-year college degrees and hundreds of thousands of dollars in school loan debt offered salaries in the low 30s to start, how could we continue expecting these people to also subsidize the education of their students when our communities will not? And how could we expect a teacher with 23 years of experience to go begging his colleagues to give up their sick days so he can get the medical treatment he so desperately needs? No, these stories aren't heartwarming, and they don't show dedication. They demonstrate that we as a society are unwilling to spend our resources on supporting and caring for the schools and the teachers that we entrust with the support and care of our children, and refuse to treat the persons we entrust their care to as professionals, or even as human beings deserving of our respect and some basic human dignity. Now, you know what would be heartwarming? It would be heartwarming for the superintendent to not to have to paint his own school, to not feel as though he needs to undercut other professionals by hiring cheap student labor, and for his students to start the school year with a professionally painted classroom. It would be heartwarming for an experienced teacher battling the fight of his life to not have to worry about depending on the kindness of his colleagues to get the medical care he needs. And it would really be heartwarming to start this new school year by treating public school teachers like professionals, or simply as we ourselves would like to be treated, with just a little common decency and maybe a fresh coat of paint for their classrooms.
All right. Awesome. It sounds even better.
I know.
Listening to it, actually, than I did reading it.
I think Andy Rooney would be glad that he is not alive anymore.
Nice, because that's right.
That would be
serious competition. Yes. So, Mitchell, what kind of feedback have you personally gotten on this piece? Is it all from teachers, or are you hearing from other folks?
I think right now it's mostly teachers, because you know we're all getting ready to go back, or a lot of us are already back. A lot of us never went anywhere over the summer.
Right.
You know, they were taking summer classes. I had 19 teachers in my summer class for 6 weeks this summer who are working on their master's degrees, and at great personal expense, I might add.
Right.
You know, a lot of teachers are taking professional development over the summer. I know two or three that were traveling all across the world, and they're doing it so they're better at their jobs in the fall. They're not pleasure trips. They're working trips where they're, you know, they're learning new materials, or they're taking courses, or they're learning about other cultures so that they can be better teachers in the fall. So I think it's the time of year for teachers to start thinking about this stuff. But as you hinted at in your introduction, I'm also starting to get a little bit optimistic that maybe more rank and file, just regular voters are understanding that years and years of cutting state education budgets has not paid off in any kind of appreciable way. You know, Scott Walker is not the only one that cut $1 billion out of his state education.
That's right.
You know,
that's right. Rick Snyder did
situation
that.
Here.
100%. Yeah. Absolutely right.
But Rick Snyder didn't have the nerve to refer to himself now as the education.
That really is audacious.
So Mitchell, one thing that we've kind of spoken to you about over and over again is Betsy DeVos, and someone that you probably have too much knowledge about for your own good. But I wonder now, looking into, we're almost 2 years into it, but I'm terrible at revealing how bad I am at math, but we're a good few years and months into this. And I'm wondering how you think she's done at her job, which is, you know, designed to devour public schools. And it seems to me, just kind of as a lay observer, someone who's, you know, I was an educator at one point, but I'm not anymore. It seems to me her most effective kind of attacks have been to go after people who are trying to seek higher, post K through 12 degrees. And are being sicked upon by predatory for-profit colleges, and she's kind of unleashed them again in a way that had been done pre-Great Recession to just put Americans in tremendous amounts of debt that they could never claw themselves out of. Is this what you kind of see now, or?
Well, yeah, I think that's part of it. You know, if there's good news, if there's any silver lining to Mrs. DeVos's tenure so far, it's that even the Republican legislature that she's supposed to be working with isn't willing to be as radical as she.
Right.
So her plans for vouchers have been roundly criticized and not funded. Mr. Trump suggested even more draconian cuts to the education budget than the legislature would approve, and Mrs. DeVos was actually on his side with that. You're exactly right that she's targeted higher ed more than K-12, I think partly because higher ed's policies are more susceptible to change on a national level because there's a lot of money for
federal funding,
sort of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's also been behind the scenes taking a page out of the Trump playbook, which is getting rid of regulations. And a lot of those regulations are intended to protect the most vulnerable students that we have in the K-12 school. So lots of civil rights issues. The Office of Civil Rights is located in the Department of Ed, and their budget has been cut. Kids with special needs are finding that access to special education services is getting much more more treacherous and difficult. Protections for trans students and LGBT kids have been chipped away. So, you know, it's kind of a death by a thousand cuts right now.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, maybe that's good news in a way that we haven't seen huge motions in vouchers or in any other kinds of huge cuts, but it's not for lack of trying.
No, and they still have time. That's the sad part. So this is the good segment of this podcast. Would you concur that this is good, that people are starting to wake up, or are you dubious about that? I'm curious on what your impression is, and when you talk to your colleagues and stuff, are people waking up, or is this sort of a resistance among the teachers and other folks still need to catch up to them?
Well, you know, I think the interesting thing about rhetoric surrounding education in this country is that it's always been bifurcated. We've always had a national conversation about the problems in public education and test scores and, you know, the sky is falling. But if you look at the data on the ground, people really like their public schools. So there was a Gallup poll in 2017 that found that almost 80% of people, when you asked them what they felt about the public schools that their children attended, it was about 80% were either satisfied or highly satisfied. What we don't like are those other public schools. So, you know, the national rhetoric has been very powerful. The one thing we can say about the GOP is that they are very disciplined in terms of their messaging. And the messaging has been the public schools are failing. And the real rhetoric is that we have been failing public schools.
That's it. Yes, 100%. All right, Mitchell.
Mitchell, it's a real pleasure to speak with you, and thank you for that beautiful essay.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, thank you both. Thanks for having me on.
It's totally appropriate that went as viral as it did, so good for that.
Thanks
all right.
Again.
We'll be talking to you.
And we'll talk to you again, hopefully before next summer.
Okay.
Sounds great. Thanks, Mitchell. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.